Ow. My arm is a little sore.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Best of Five. We're staying alive. Elon and Automatic are here
to explode.
We're here. In the song, it says we're here to fight, but, you know, I don't think we're going to fight. At least I don't want to fight you. I feel like you'd just kick my ass.
I just play Third Strike these days, man. You'd be all right.
I don't even do that.
Show you the way.
We'll do it. First of all, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Five. Automatic, it's so nice to have you back. I've missed you. It's been a hot minute. I don't remember whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago where I was like, hey, welcome to Best of Five. I'm with my
And to play the drums all by yourself.
Yep. But I'm happy you're back, and I hope you're doing okay. How are things over there in Automatic Land?
I set up the microphone stand that I've had in my closet for about 5 years. Because I look at my YouTube videos, I'm like, my microphone audio could be much better if I just put the microphone closer to my face. And then I realize it's going to open up desk space. So now I got this whole thing.
You know, nice.
Work,
dude. Awesome. I'm with you. If it wasn't for the fact that these were already done, I would not be changing it at all. So I am right there with you. Before we get into the FGC topics, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First, I got this thing. It's cool. It's called an Ono roller. It's like it massages your hands, and it's like a little fidgety toy. It feels nice. It's two aluminum circles that I can just... and it came in today, and I like it. Best $10 I've ever spent.
I always, man, I bring myself back to the military when I would just blurt out juvenile things to make people laugh. I was just, you know, I had a thought, but cool, man.
Is your thought going to get us banned?
No, I doubt it.
Oh, then do it.
How much poop is on that?
Probably,
you know,
they see
your cell phone is incredibly dirty. Everybody's cell phone is just disgusting because, you know, you use it while you're on the pooper.
Yeah.
Woo! And then you wash your hands and then woo, the phone never gets washed. So,
yeah. I literally unboxed it right before I hit the go button for the stream. So it's getting there. It's getting there. Oh, man. And before we dive into our other topics, there is something I did want to touch on before we dive in. And this I saw like literally right before we went live. And it's not necessarily fighting games related, but it is video game industry related. So I figured it would be worth to talk about. Take-Two Interactive, you know, the people who own Rockstar, 2K, Private Division, and they recently bought Gearbox, announced that they'll be having a 5% workforce layoff. And they'll also be canceling games and ending projects. That's really sad. Because, you know, 5% of its workforce, that's a shit ton of people, right? Especially with how many things they own. And I wanted to touch on a couple of things about this because this is a very disturbing trend that's been in the gaming industry. I'm assuming we're gonna feel the effects of it in the fighting game community sooner rather than later, especially because, you know, there's a little company called PlayStation and Sony that currently own EVO. But so they announced this 5% layoff. But I then wanted to take a look at their finances, right? Because usually with layoffs, it's like, oh, we're not making enough money to support our workers. So I went into, I did a little bit of digging before the show started, and I found a couple of very disturbing facts that make this not make any sense, which is the disturbing thing that's been happening around the gaming industry, and also the films industry too, and the media industry.
In general. And the milk industry also.
Also.
And the bread industry.
Also.
And the gas industry.
Also. It's almost like capitalism is not functioning. sorry, did I go too far?
I don't know, man.
But I wanted to share this that I found. This is publicly available information. In the second quarter of the fiscal year of 2024, which is between January and March, Take-Two, with Grand Theft Auto 5 alone, raked in $1.4 billion.
A lot of dollary dues.
Just in these last 3 months. Right? On top of that, as of, I think, almost a week or two ago, Take-Two Gearbox, who are the people who made Borderlands and a bunch of other games, for $460 million from the Embracer Group, another company that just bought a shit ton of stuff and then, like, didn't have, and then, like, had to lay everybody off because, like, whatever the fuck was going on over there, right? The Embracer Group is so egregious for doing dumb shit that, like, even at, like, I forget which award show it was, whether it was the DICE Awards. I think it was the DICE Awards. Game Over Greggy, on stage from Kind of Funny Games, formerly IGN. IGN's a whole nother thing that's happening, too, on top of that. But Game Over Greggy on stage was like, wow, the Embracer Group really fucked all of us over, huh? Wow. And then they cut to the CEO of Embracer on a table just like,
oh, jeez.
It was like, you know how there are, like, there are times where, like, people deserve their comeuppance. And even though that wasn't really a comeuppance, but seeing that man who has ruined so much just, like, be uncomfortable for a little bit felt nice. Felt nice. But, you know, so we can all be asking, like, you know, Take-Two bought Gearbox. They have all of this money coming in. They own Rockstar, 2K, Private Division, now Gearbox. How is it that they're laying off 5% of their workforce? Last year, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick, his compensation was $42.1 million, which was more than 2.5 times higher than his 2022 salary that was just over $16 million.
Nice.
Hope that guy's having a good one, because he's having a good one at the expense of literally everybody else. So, this is kind of like where we're at in the games industry now. It's like the people at the top are just eating and eating and eating, and there's not enough for everybody else. And it's not just the games industry. It's a lot of industries that are kind of like suffering through this while there's, like, you know, the few execs at the top are just having their day, right? And if you guys remember, during the summer of last year and even up until this year, there have been so many labor unions that had decided to go on strike, right? The UPS Teamsters went on strike because they wanted air conditioning in their cars because people were getting sick of how hot those UPS trucks are. Oh, meanwhile, damn. Their CEOs are, like, raking in the most that they've ever raked in, right? The films industry, they had the Writers Union and the Actors Union go on strike because the actors and writers were not getting any revenue from streaming numbers. All the companies were just taking all of the streaming income and not giving it to anybody. Who else went on strike? It was them. The Auto Workers Union went on strike. The CEO of GM was making over $60 million a year, a 40% increase in salary, while auto workers were struggling to pay rent, right? So they went on strike, and I don't know if that strike resolved or not, but last I heard, they were still kind of, like, trying to work things out. So
it's a crazy world.
Yeah. So,
because, I mean, I'm sure it's not only that the people at the top are getting paid the most, but it's also the inflation. Things just cost more. It costs more to just exist. I live in a suburb next to big cities, so it's same. My cost of living is great, but I still notice it when I go to the grocery store and I try to, you know, buy some sandwiches, buy some milk and eggs. I'm like, this is like 3 times as much as it used to be. Why? Mm-hmm. So I can imagine if you're in a bigger city, the rent's higher, the groceries are higher.
Yeah.
And people just overall have bad spending habits. So it's like, and you would want to be able to go out to eat a couple times a week, or maybe a few times, or maybe just once a week.
Yeah.
But
you know what's really funny?
A lot of people can't afford to do that.
You know what's really funny, though? Did you know that in the eggs industry, there is currently a huge lawsuit happening? Because the eggs industry has been proven that they artificially caused the price increase. Everything is completely the same. They just feigned that their supply was running short and caused the ridiculously drastic increase. And it's now proven that they falsified it, and hopefully our justice system, which That's a whole another fucking thing. We'll do something
like chicken wings or legs that were out of stock or something like that. What do you mean? Like, are the chickens not growing that part or something? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't.
Yeah, it's all artificial. I think it is. Go ahead.
It could be greed, and it's hard to know the truth for sure, like with absolute certainty. But I'm sure some of it is greed. But some of it is okay. Why is there that greed? Or why is it something else? You know, what happens to the disconnect of, you know, you're helping people out, providing a service so you can live and eat?
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know,
I hope that's not. I hope that's not the case. Or if it's just some of it, that's it's not okay. But there's got to be a greater explanation. That just it's hard to get to.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I just hate that it all falls to us to pick up the pieces while everybody else is out enjoying their caviar in their golden encrusted toilets or whatever the fuck. But yeah. Anywho, we're a fighting games podcast where we talk about fighting game news. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out, man. Squidly was saying like how he feels pissy. I do too, man. Especially reading all these news, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. It's like, what happened? What happened? Where did it all go wrong? People, that's where it all went wrong. But
I've been doing pretty good, man. Just pressing buttons on Fightcade and watching watching Third Strike videos.
Good. I've been having a good I've been having a good fighting games week.
And Helldivers as well, like
Helldivers. That's right. We need to hop back in there. Need to hop back in there. But I was having a good fighting games week. I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was last week. I was playing some Tekken. I was getting really frustrated because I kept getting grabbed all the time. And I took the time to go watch FeeDX's video on how to break throws. And I spent about an hour practicing that. And then all of a sudden, I was teching throws in Tekken. It was crazy. It's almost like if you practice, you become better.
Take some time to get better at something, you get better at it.
Yeah, but all this to say, VDX's video is phenomenal. He literally lays it all out. It's like, here's how you practice this and how you apply this. And it was awesome. So shout out to VDX. Shall we get to some topics?
I'd love to.
It's already been 20 minutes and we've just been bitching. I've just been bitching. You've been sitting here patiently waiting to talk.
Get to the news, Elon.
So have you played Mortal Kombat at all? I feel like I ask you this every time a Mortal Kombat thing comes up.
Nope. Casual Tay, who used to be a Rumbleverse player, I watch some of his clips on Twitter. That's about the extent of, and I see people complain about it. I wish I saw more people like point out what's cool about it, but.
Yeah. So a lot of people have there's been a very crazy negative wave over Mortal Kombat 1. We had the guys from Low Kick Esports here last week, and they shared that on their end of things, you know, they have the FGC meetups, which is the largest local fighting game scene in the U.S. The only game that didn't stick around after the explosive launch was Mortal Kombat 1. People just stopped showing up. I think it was a combination of issues with the game balance and the direction that they were trying to take the game in, along with the game being so radically different. On top of, you know, issues like player two side couldn't do the same combos as player one side.
I knew this was going to happen with the Mortal Kombat with assist that was a $70 price tag, AAA games, and the corporate. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not totally wrong. But with that said, they had a big patch that released today.
Cool. How did that patch go?
What?
How did that patch go?
Honestly, people are very happy for it, right? So apparently one of the big issues of Mortal Kombat 1, and I am very ignorant to it, is that Raiden apparently was like crazy, crazy overpowered. This patch took steps to take some of the overpowered things away without nerfing him too much. Characters got new moves. I think Reptile got a new move. Rain got a new move. So they got some new tools to work with. They completely reworked Shujinko, one of the cameo assists. He now works completely different, and people are super happy about that because I feel like his whole thing is that he takes the moves from other people, right? So I think that was not working quite as they wanted it, and I think it was so bad that people were just completely skipping him as a cameo. But now he has a lot more tools and a lot of works a lot differently, so I think a lot of people are happy about that. And on top of that, you know, they also are working to stabilize the game and, you know, make sure the netcode works okay. They added crossplay. They added King of the Hill, which is what Mortal Kombat fans have been asking for. And something I wanted to talk about Mortal Kombat is that, in my opinion, I think Mortal Kombat does, like, the season pass thing the best out of every other fighting game. And it's very interesting that Mortal Kombat, also under the Warner Brothers umbrella, same company that owns Rocksteady, who did the Justice League, killed the Justice League, the Suicide Squad game, that is a horrific disaster because they were forced to put in live service things into the game. The live service aspect of Mortal Kombat, I think they do the best. They announced their new season that starts between that starts now and ends in June. It's the Storm season, right? So they have a ton of new character skins that are tailored to this season on top of having classic character skins. I think they released, like, a Deadly Alliance skin for Shang Tsung on top of, like, all these other really badass-looking looking costumes for characters. And it just made me think, like, man, Street Fighter VI does a bunch of stuff for the avatars. And then they released, like, you know, $15 costumes per character. Tekken 8, same thing. Like, they did a lot for avatars. And I guess they have, like, the customizable items that you can earn. But, you know, it feels, everything feels a little lackluster. Especially with the amount of money that you have to spend. With Mortal Kombat, you can just play the, like, what's it called? The invasion mode or whatever, which is really cool because they do, like, a lot of twists on the game. It's kind of like how they used to do Mortal Kombat Towers, where they're like, oh, fight Raiden, but there's missiles coming at you, or Raiden is gigantic and you're tiny. So they, like, have something like that that's been developing alongside the game that's super duper interesting. And if you play that, you can earn the in-game currency and you can buy yourself some new skins. So I feel like they do that the best. And that's, like, the one... That's the one thing about Mortal Kombat that I can 1,000% say with certainty that they do the best. Everything else, I'm a little too ignorant on Mortal Kombat. That's not a diss at Mortal Kombat. That's a diss at me. So I can't really speak on that. But with... I feel enticed to spend extra money after buying Mortal Kombat. With Street Fighter VI and Tekken, I don't feel enticed. You know what I mean?
Either more money or more time playing the game to earn those unlockable whatevers.
Yes.
That's something that's severely missing from Street Fighter VI. Like, they have that. They do have the battle pass kind of thing where you can, like, it's like a gacha style. Go ahead.
I was going to say they have it, but it's all for avatar stuff. And to that point, I don't know if you've been in the Battle Hub lately, but all I see in there are just people talking about, like, what level they're in and what their avatar level is. So... I guess outside of the fighting game community, like, that's what people are super into. And, you know, and good for them. Good for them. I just wish there was a little bit more to show off some of the characters and show off some cool stuff with
character costumes. Monetized. Well, I think this makes me think about Helldivers and their model. Like, every month they have a new war bond. It's $10, or you can unlock it with super credits that you can earn. Both you can pay for it, or you can just find it naturally in the game. So it encourages people to play the game. But it also gives a new revenue stream each month to get those on top of the armor sets that are, like, every 3 days they refresh. Mm-hmm. So it's things that are useful in game, and you might lock them cosmetically, so you buy them for that reason. Yeah. But you can just, at the end of the day, play the game and also earn it. So with the $40 price tag of Helldivers, that game, you feel like you got a bargain. It was a fire sale to get a game like that that's so fun and not the $70 to $60 price tag that things are usually these days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a model that seems to be working quite well.
There is one thing that I do.
Playing the game and liking it.
There is one thing that I do appreciate about the way that Tekken and Street Fighter have been doing their battle passes and stuff. And it's that if you complete the battle passes, they give you enough in-game currency to buy another one.
Yeah.
So, to me... That's like, oh, shit, okay, so technically you can buy one of them and then just play the shit out of the game and then get the other one, right? But it's funny. Maximilian has pointed this out, and other people have been pointing this out, and it's really grimy. The battle pass for Tekken is, I think it's like 400 Tekken coins or whatever. The battle pass for Street Fighter is like 300 fight coins or whatever. you have to purchase. You can only purchase within $5 increments. So the Tekken Battle Pass is like $600, so you have to purchase $10 worth of fight money or whatever. And same thing with Street Fighter. It's like, man, come on now. Come on now. You're not making this easy. It's like, oh, god damn it, dude.
It feels like they think you're stupid. It's kind of what it is.
Yeah. But with that said, like, look, if you like that kind of stuff and you're spending money on it, good. You're going to support.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Most of the things in the Street Fighter VI, whatever, Battle Pass, none of it's really that cool to me. I used to get it just because, you know, I wanted to support the game and maybe get some new stuff, but none of it's really that cool. They have that rent a character thing. Who's using that?
Yeah, there's no characters.
Try out a character for a second. Yeah.
they released that, and it's like, it's maybe gotten to the point
there
that
was
Go ahead.
If there was a free to play model, then rent a character would make awesome. That would make perfect sense. It'd be awesome.
Yeah,
but that's not the case. You have like four or five characters to choose from.
Yeah, and what's even worse is like you can only hold a certain amount at a time. Like I've maxed out how many character rental passes I have. And I can't earn more.
It just feels like a useless thing, and then they just tack on something that makes it worse. That's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, when's that patch coming out for Street Fighter VI, huh? They said April, May.
How much you want to bet they release Akuma, but they don't change the game? It's not a patch release.
Dude, if they do that, Akuma. I'm done. If they do that, I'm done. That's it. That's it.
You better expect that. You better, like, hope it is a pleasant surprise and do some changes when Akuma comes out.
Oh, that would make me so sad. That would genuinely, like, really make me really, really sad. It was really funny. I did this on stream where I played some Tekken, and I learned how to grab with Fee, and I had a blast, right, because I was learning things. You know, things were exciting. I played Killer Instinct, because Killer Instinct is still getting updates. And if you missed it, the Ultra Tour... Killer Instinct Ultra Tour is back, and they've announced stops at Combo Breaker and at CEO, and there's like $15,000 added to Combo Breaker. There's $10,000 added to the pot for CEO, so like Microsoft is investing in Killer Instinct again, which is super exciting. I've been playing the shit out of that game. It's not my favorite game, but I enjoy playing it, right? Because, you know, everything's really active, right? Even when you're getting comboed, you can still break, so you could still, like, you still have to pay attention. You have to do stuff. And then I played Street Fighter VI, where I got empty jump, drive rush, low medium kick, drive rushed, or I would like be in the brink of winning a game, and then I get eat like three drive impacts because Manon can't cancel after like the first couple of frames of her crouching medium punch into drive impact, even though she's supposed to. And man. Like, the difference in mood. Like, Street Fighter VI ruined my day. It's crazy. It's wild.
That is such an interesting aspect of it, though. Because if people just stopped playing something, if they didn't like it, imagine the impact it would have. I mean, maybe if I don't know what the impact would be. But I think that would be overall healthier for everybody. If you just don't like something, stop playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, but that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, especially with something like Street Fighter VI, it's like, is the FGC going to be greatly affected if Street Fighter VI dies? I'd like to say both yes and no. Or, like, does it even matter?
Maybe it's even better. Maybe something better will come along. Just like a Helldivers. A Helldivers like fighting Helldivers. Game.
Just like Helldivers. Dude, a Helldivers fighting... Could you imagine, like, a side-scroller fighting game with Helldivers where, like, bugs come in? Kind of like Tekken Force?
Almost like Helldivers 1, the top-down shooter.
True. Speaking of money, you know, we've been talking about money this entire show. Let's talk about it. Esports World Cup. I've talked about the Esports World Cup and how shitty I think it is. On, like, who's running it, why they're running it, etc., etc. And, you know, it's that old adage, right? Like, if something is too good to be true... And it is. So everybody, at the end of the day, it seems like where we're going with this whole esports World Cup thing in Riyadh is everybody has their price, apparently, right? And who better to check what everybody's price is than Saudi Arabia, one of the richest countries in the world, because they have lots of dried up and fossilized dinosaurs in the ground. They announced today, this morning, at 10 a.m., that the Esports World Cup will be having $60 million.
It says life-changing prize money.
Yeah. Like, talk about talking down to other people, right? $60 million for a total prize pool.
That's not just like Street Fighter. Okay,
No. It's total. Good, club championships win $20 million. Game championships win $30-plus million. Qualifiers get $7.6 million. And then on top of that, they have MVP awards that will give you an extra $1.1 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. But it is Saudi Arabia. I told you this before we went on stream. I wasn't even able to enter the country because of my name until like last year, I think. And on this show, I've extensively shared my issue with something being run out of Saudi Arabia by the Saudi Arabia government. I even made a YouTube video about it. And funny enough, one of the comments that I got in the YouTube video is that I titled the YouTube video something like "The FGC's involvement in Saudi Arabia is disconcerting." And one of the comments was, "I'm proud of myself that I knew what disconcerting meant." So I feel like I'm going crazy because I'm trying to present this information and how this is bad. And I get comments like, "I figured disconcerting is what it meant by the context, but instead I looked it up and I was right. Fuck the content of your story. I just wanted to talk about how proud I am that I know a word." Whoever that guy is on YouTube, congratulations. But man, it genuinely makes me feel like a crazy person that I see a problem with this and it feels like nobody else does. Do you see an issue with this at all?
I don't know enough to have a firm comment one way or the other. I mean, I remember you said something last time about like, was it something related to women's rights or something like that?
Yeah. It's bad. Women in Saudi Arabia have to be accompanied by a guardian wherever they go out in public. And on top of that, the women cannot pick their own guardians. So it's literally like a property type of thing. It's really fucked up. And in the, you know, there's this happening. And then on the outside, on the PR side of things, they're like, "Oh, we're getting more progressive. See, women's rights." Anyway, that doesn't even begin to like scratch the surface of all the problems with Saudi Arabia and their humanitarian crisis over there. You know they still do crucifixions in Saudi Arabia?
No, I don't know nothing about Saudi Arabia. I'm sorry.
They still do crucifixions in Saudi Arabia.
I wish I could share your passion, but all I know is
it's not even a passion. It's like it's a fear. It's a fear, right? I'm actually genuinely scared that the next thing they're going to announce is Evo Saudi Arabia. I genuinely think that might happen. And if it does, I think that's the end for me. Like, that's it.
What does that make me think about? I mean, you know, fighting game events don't really make money, right?
No.
So in a way, you're kind of just taking their money if you just go there and, you know, that's the best I can come up with.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that too.
They're probably going to lose a lot of money to do something like that.
Yeah, but to them, money is no issue. Dude, those people over there, like $60 million is like, you can sneeze that out. Right? Like that's a sneeze to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Like they have so much goddamn money. It's no longer an object, right? Like they literally can do anything. And that's what they're doing. They're kind of trying to make Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, the center for tech, gaming, and esports. Mostly because, you know, the petroleum reserves are drying up. So they're trying to look for the next big money-making scheme. But yeah, man, I have a lot of big feelings about it, and I'm not comfortable with it. And I feel like a crazy person that I am not seeing other people, with the exception of Oh man, who's the person who writes them's fighting words blog? Oh my god, I'm blanking on their name. But anyway, he's the only other person that I've seen like talk about how bad Saudi Arabia is. But you know, to your point, I guess if you know somebody can win $30 million and like make the FTC better, then I guess that's the price we pay. Just sell our souls to the devil. Just sell our souls to the devil.
That seems like a college degree level amount of research to really have an informed like thought about it. So I'm blissfully ignorant, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll move on. I'm just on like I just feel like I'm a crazy person when I see anything about this esports World Cup stuff. And look, I feel like I do need to say this. The person who is behind the fighting games section of the esports World Cup is Alex Jabaley, because he works for the EFG, the ESL Faceit group. There is nothing against Jabaley. There is nothing against the work he's doing. My issue is solely with where it's happening, and that's out of Jabaley's hands. So, and honestly, that might be out of every competitor's hands as well, I guess. But yeah, my issue is just who's like where it is and who's benefiting from it.
I think you're right to have that position, but I also think the government doesn't always represent its people the most.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree. But the issue then is that this is funded by the Saudi Arabia government. and I know that made it seem like. I mean, I felt like I was talking down to you. That's not what I'm doing at all.
Oh no.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, like the and that's
I'm that's
the
ignorant.
Yeah, no, that's the big issue that I have with this is that this is funded by the Saudi Arabia government and the Saudi Arabian government benefits from it by all the good PR. It's like, oh look, we're giving $60 million to these esports kids. Look how progressive we are. We don't commit any human rights abominations here. Anyway, new woman was born. They gotta go pick out a guardian. Anyway, that's where I'm at. It's a lot of big feelings about like things that are wrong, things that are objectively wrong, that we can't do anything about. So, like I said, I think you put it best. It's like if somebody in the FTC walks away with that money and they make good use of it, then I guess that's like the happy story out of it, right?
And it's also the situation, I feel that if you don't do it, somebody else will. That kind of, that's definitely there.
Yeah. It just makes me kind of sad. Anyway, let's stop talking about sad stuff, shall we? Can we talk about happy stuff?
Yes, please.
All right.
I'd love that.
EVO Japan is in a couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I think it's next weekend, right? Yep, next weekend. They released their numbers as of March 30th, and the numbers are staggering, which is good.
Yeah.
Under Night in Birth, with 353 entrants. King of Fighters 15, with 450 entrants. Street Fighter Third Strike, with 459 entrants. Granblue Fantasy vs. Rising, with 748 entrants. Guilty Gear Strive, with 838 entrants. Tekken 8, with 1,216 entrants. And Street Fighter 6... with 4,851 entrants.
Street Fighter is crushing it in Japan, man. Their stream numbers,
dude. Those VTuber collabs. Those VTuber collabs are making Street Fighter explode in Japan. It's crazy. So the number for Street Fighter 6 is 4,851. Do you want to know how many total attendance EVO Japan had last year?
Probably less than that. I think that's the point you're making here.
I thought I brought it up, but never mind. It was around 5,000.
So nearly.
It's nearly all of the attendance of last year.
That's incredible growth. I know there were some concerns last year with the event itself, as far as
like comfortability.
AC, it was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the tournament wasn't ran that great.
Yeah.
TOs, the bracket runners.
We're having a hard time. Yeah. Yeah. There were a lot of complaints about it last year, but The numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. With that said, though, if there was one person that I would want in charge to fix up something like that, it's Rick.
Absolutely.
So, from my understanding, this is going to be hopefully a positive thing. I put my full faith in Rick, so he's doing the best he can. Even if it's not perfect, I feel like it's going to be better than it was last year.
Yep, Rick ain't ever going to stop.
Yeah. Speaking of Rick never stopping, he has another event that is slowly releasing numbers. And by slowly releasing numbers, I mean Curling W, who actually was just highlighted on Evo's social media accounts for all that she does in TOing for Evo and for Combo Breaker and everything. Something that she does that I love is she posts like very cryptic tweets about Combo Breaker numbers. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But they're really cool. Mm-mm. Let me show you this one.
House Wrestling 6. 100, 100, 100. And any more.
Can you decode this? Can you guess what this is?
Well, the 6 makes me think of Street Fighter 6.
Yeah, there's see, they're on the street fighting.
Ah, Street Fighter 6.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 1100... entrance for Street Fighter 6 for Combo Breaker. Them's good numbers. It's funny. I think as of last year, the only tournament to break 1,000 entrants was Guilty Gear Strive. I think Guilty Gear Strive was the only tournament that broke 1,000 entrants at Combo Breaker. So there's Street Fighter 6 breaking it. And then as of yesterday evening, this was tweeted out.
That looks like a king. Running two from Dragunov. 8.
Yeah. Basically. 1,200 people signing up for Tekken 8. King of the Iron Fist. 8.
That's crazy, man. It wasn't Combo Breaker, I believe, last year they were cut off. They just missed the release date of Street Fighter 6. Is that correct?
Yeah. Combo Breaker was the final Street Fighter 5 tournament, which was won by Just a Kid, friend of the show. And then CEO, a month later, was the first Street Fighter 6 tournament.
Just a Kid.
Which was won by Mena. I think playing Blanca, if I'm not mistaken. Things never changed.
Oh, yeah.
And there were like a couple of like really surprise showings in top 8 for that, I remember. There was a guy playing Manon. Because people didn't know how bad Manon was at the time. CJ Truth was just drive rushing with Jury and killing everyone. You could really tell who was cracking. People were cracked out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I actually very vividly remember playing Street Fighter 6 at CEO, and I had a good time. I think that's kind of like the thing that's like trying to keep me from disliking Street Fighter 6 is like all of the good times I've had offline. I remember although every time I've been knocked into losers in my Street Fighter 6 career offline has been with a JP. And this was before JP got nerfed. There was a guy named Faith in Chaos from Florida at CEO that put me in losers. Hilarious dude. The nicest dude ever. If there was anybody I was going to lose to in that tournament, I lost to him. I'm happy with that. I got double jeopardy by him. First round we played, he sent me the losers. And it's really funny because I do this joke. I'm gonna share like a couple like tips and tricks to diffuse the situation at tournaments to make yourself feel better. Usually for like the first couple of matches at a tournament, I always turn to the person and be like, "Hey, let's make a pact. One of us is making it out of this pool." And sure enough, I did that pact with Faith and Chaos, and then he double jeopardied me and made it out of pool. So I was like, "All right, glad you kept your word." And then at Evo, same thing. I got put into losers by a JP player. And then I made it out of my pool, so suck it. I've kept this around. I don't eat at Chipotle, but I've kept these around. I have like 4 of these, like laying around my house.
I had acupuncture appointments, and there was a Chipotle in that city. So for the past every Thursday, I was eating at Chipotle because I got all those codes from the Chipotle event.
Yeah,
I had like 40 codes.
Dude, yeah. Honestly, like if I like Chipotle, I would be like eating for free for like the next month.
But it's all right.
Unfortunately, I don't like Chipotle.
I don't want to get off topic too much, but the burritos, they don't do it, man. The rice bowls, you got to get a rice bowl. The burritos, they're too cumbersome.
Yeah. No, and here's the thing. It's like, I think their food tastes okay, but every time I eat Chipotle, it's like, I feel like I'm going to die.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, it just wrecks my stomach, and I don't know why. Even if it's, even if it's, like, things that, like, even if I have, like, the dairy-free, or if I have, like, the protein bowl, or, like, the Whole 30 version, like, whatever they do over there, it just wrecks my stomach. I don't know what it is. It makes me think of that South Park episode with Chipotle Way. Have you ever seen that episode? You know what I'm talking about, or is this, like...
Nope.
Okay, so South Park, they did an episode about Chipotle and how when you eat at Chipotle, you shit blood. So they invented something called Chipotle Way. That wipes, that cleans the blood stains off of your underwear. So instead of stopping eating at Chipotle, people were using Chipotle Way.
Nice.
Anyway. All right.
That was great for the evil numbers and combo breaker. Yep.
Absolutely. And those Chipotle numbers as well. Look, we talked about sad things. We talked about happy things. It is 7:30. The time has reached upon us to end this episode. I feel like I complained a little bit, but you know what? You know, it's my show. You know, we get to complain sometimes. Thank you for sharing that information with us. That's sick. I'm going to rewatch it to see if I can wrap my brain around it, because I'll be honest, my brain... I saw it happen, and I was like, oh, this is cool, but my brain did not...
A pie in the face. Be or not to be.
Yeah, plus I like relearned Mortal Kombat 1 today, so my brain's just done. But I'm gonna rewatch it. You know what? One of these days, I want you to teach me Third Strike. Because you make this game look really fun, and I feel like I'm in a little bit of FOMO not having played. So, you know.
Really fun.
Okay, we'll play some Third Strike then.
And then you'll hate it. And then you'll love it again. And then you'll hate it again. And then you'll love it again.
As long as there's still love for it at the end, I think I'll be all right. And I think that...
It's a journey.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as long as there's still love at the end, I think we'll all be okay. You know what I'm saying?
If you need a reference of how to set up everything on Fightcade, I made a document for it. Just let me know.
Yeah, I remember. I think I've asked you about it, and you sent me that doc. I've asked you about it. You sent me that doc, and I have it set up. I just never played it.
Oh, nice. I should probably put the end, play it.
Yeah, there was one step missing.
Yeah. Step number six.
All right. It is time for us to go. You know, we talked about Mortal Kombat 1. We talked about Esports World Cup. We talked about EVO Japan and Combo Breaker. And then you took us to the lab, so it's been a hell of a journey. This has been another episode of Best of 5. Automatic, any final words before we depart until next week?
No!
Okay, thanks everybody for joining, and we'll talk to you all next week. All right, see ya.
Adios.